Hello everybody and welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast, the podcast that gives real football fans a real voice on the sports that we love. My name is Jordan, your host, and I'm going to announce my panel this week right now. We have, it's been a while, Marvin, Man United fan on the pod. What are you saying, Marv?
How you doing, Phil? I'm all right. How
you good?
Doing? Well, I've been better, you know that.
Well, I know why you're not all right, yeah, but...
And the way you asked the question, good, because you knew. You don't want me to be good, you want me to be hurt, and congratulations, I am.
I really do, and I'm really glad that you are hurt, but yeah. we'll get to that at some point, I'm sure, later in the pod as well. We also have returning another United fan, T, not to be confused with the T we had on a few weeks ago. Terence T, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. All things non-football, I am absolutely fine.
Everything's all well?
Yeah.
Good. Good to have you back on the pod, man. And we've also got, making his debut on the FFP, we've got Leicester City fan Jason.
Hello, how do?
Very good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
All well?
Never a dull moment following Leicester City.
Well, there isn't, clearly. No. We're going to get to Leicester in just a little bit later on in the pod, so I want to hear your thoughts. I've got you on to talk about Leicester. We've never had a Leicester fan on the pod before, so it'd be great to kind of get your...
responsibility on me,
Well, yeah, there's no pressure, but there is pressure, basically.
You might not make the next one, though.
Are you saying that because he won't be good? Are you saying that because they'll be in the championship?
Well,
we'll stay up.
You're rude. The first time on the pod, and you're just
I was like, I hear clarity.
I thought it was a genuine question.
You knew what you were doing. You knew what you were doing. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, FFP_11. We're on Instagram, Football Fans Podcast, and we are also on Facebook, Football Fans Podcast. Subscribe obviously as well, Football Fans Podcast, via the iTunes library, and we are now also on Spotify. Right, before we actually kick off with the drive-bys, gents, we have a producer, Joe, a Liverpool fan in the corner, that will be producing the show week to week. So
I wasn't told. I'm being filmed by a Liverpool fan.
Well, you're being told now, so just get over
I'd
it.
I'd like to leave. We better make sure the equipment is nailed down.
And this is quite rare, I guess, for us to be the only winning team in the room. It's fantastic.
Oh dear. Okay. Put your prems up. No. Anyone got a Premier League this century? No, okay. So welcome, Joe, onto the pod. Right, let's get into our drive-bys. In fact, again, before we get to our drive-bys, a very quick disclaimer. We had Akin on the pod last week, Man United fan. And we spoke about the United-Liverpool game. And we had Neil from the Anfield Wrap on the pod, who gave his review and what he thought of the game and how it went. And Akin was a bit upset that basically he felt he didn't get the chance to properly reply and really kind of talk about how he felt the game went. So just because I know he's a bit upset about that, I want to say that Akin... off air said to me that he was very, very happy with how the game went. He was very, very happy with how the approach was taken by their manager, and he thinks a point at Anfield is a very, very good point. So I want to make that point clear just before we go forward, because I know he was upset and angry. That
are like you sure,
I'd like to make clear that George, Akin does not represent Man United fans.
George, I'm not sure he went... I thought he was very disappointed with the approach.
Oh, I thought he
and the performance.
I thought he was...
I mean, I'm not the one to stick up for him, but I think... next time clarify that when he's on the
I'll
pod.
Double check,
because I'm pretty sure he was gutted as the rest of us. What I will also say is that guy, complete idiot, and it's not just because he's a Liverpool fan. The guy from the, what was it,
the Anfield Rap.
Scousers couldn't even rhyme a nursery rhyme, let alone do a rap. He was rap with a W. He was arguably the worst phoning you've ever had. And one of the things, just to be clear, is the thing that sticks out is he said they're one of the best teams in the country, and they're better than Man United. I tell you what, United don't go to Wembley and get packed out the way they did, and United don't go to the City Ground and get packed out the way they did. So for him to, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I know it's another pod, but no offense to you, mate, but you're an idiot.
He will be having his right to reply on the pod, so we'll get Neil back on to have his right to reply.
It was shocking. You'd have thought they were like a big team. Do you know what I mean? T, you got to listen to it. It was like, if you said, other than the terrible accent, if you said, who is this guy speaking about? You'd have gone Chelsea, City, United. He literally thought that Liverpool were an amazing club, and like in terms of performance, they're the best. And he talked about like the fortress that at Anfield, and I thought, didn't Burnley?
It's not a fortress. Yeah, it's not even a fortress this season.
Anyway, sorry, we digress.
Sorry, Jill.
And I will give him the chance to have his right to reply. Anyway, let's kick off with some drive-bys, gentlemen. You know the rule: 60 seconds. I'll put a question to each of you, and you cannot be interrupted by anyone else on the panel. I'm going to start with you, Marvin. Of these four midfielders, who do you rank as the best and who is the worst? Central midfielders: Chelsea's Bakayoko, Watford's Doucouré, Southampton's Romeu, or Leicester's Ndidi?
As
Jason chuckles in the corner there, the name of
they're never good players, but every time he does these drive-bys, they make you think. So Doucouré, Ndidi, Romeu, and who's the last one?
Bakayoko.
I just haven't seen enough of Bakayoko. From what I've seen, he seems quality. If you ask me to... Are we doing it on form or are we doing it on ability?
Who do you think is the best of the four?
I would go Bakayoko.
Yeah?
Just because I liked him at Monaco. But I don't think any of them are good. I think Doucouré is having a great season.
Yeah, I like that Doucouré.
And Ndidi, you know what? Did he get... No, he didn't. But he's all right. But he was signed as the Kante replacement, wasn't he? And he's never, well, no one's Kante, but I just think he's a basic sort of box to box. And Romeo's a good footballer.
Okay.
I'll put him third.
That's your minute done. Let's move on now to T. Mike Ashley announced last week that he'll be selling the club ASAP. He wants wants a club sold by the new year. The Newcastle fans never really liked Mike Ashley as an owner, and they all seem very, very happy that he's selling the club and leaving. But do you think that they're right to be happy that he's selling the club?
Yeah, well, I think Mike Ashley came out recently and said he just doesn't have the finances. I think even Geordie's I would think clever enough to understand that the landscape's changed in terms of the financial clout you need to run a football club right now. And to be fair to Ashley, came out and said, I don't have that type of capital to invest. So to compete with the Man U's, Man City's, Chelsea's of this world, you know, like Newcastle used to when Keegan was in charge, they're going to need a lot more financial muscle. So yeah, they should be happy, because hopefully they'll be able to get somebody that is going to invest in the club. I mean, they probably won't, because who the hell wants to invest in Newcastle?
I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the only way they're going to get back to, you know, competing how they think they should. And to be fair, I mean, not that I'm a great fan of Newcastle, but you know, it does have a good base for a football club. So
that's,
I'd like to see them. Yeah,
that's a minute done. Right, Jason, your first drive by the fan that was at Everton last week that was seen punching. Yeah. A Lyon player with his child in one arm.
Whose child was it then, if it wasn't his?
It wasn't his child.
I don't know.
I hope it was his child.
Was that the Williams spillover?
Yes, yes. He's been banned by Everton, I believe, for the season. What would your punishment be for a fan that does something like that?
I would punish him. I'd ban him for the rest of his life. I don't think that type of behaviour is needed in any type of football ground or any sports ground, let alone football. And the fact that he was holding, we assume, his child, going towards the fans. I think he came up with some flimsy excuse. I saw one or two quotes from him earlier this week, and I can't exactly remember, but he was trying to come out with it. Oh, my behaviour, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, you cannot do that inside a football stadium. You cannot rush towards players and get involved with anything like that. It is preposterous that somebody should do that. And I'd ban him for not just Everton, but I think the Premier League should ban him as well. He should not be allowed in any football ground in the country whatsoever. And I actually feel sorry for that child that was with him as well, because if that's your example in life, if that's your parents,
you've got no chance.
My word, you have got no chance, got as no you say.
Alright guys, let's kick in now with the first topic of the pod. The breaking news a few hours ago, actually, that the Everton manager Ronald Koeman was sacked at Everton following their 5-2 defeat at the hands of Arsenal Goodison yesterday. To talk about this and their manager and their current situation, I'm going to bring in David from the Toffee Blues. David, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, very good, thanks. And yourselves?
We're good, mate. We're all good.
Excellent.
So let's get into it now. Ronald Koeman's gone. First of all, do you think this was a syndrome of managers petrified to death of being relegated and thus them thinking, we can't take the gamble, get rid of him now? Or was the sacking, in your view, justified?
I have to say, I think it was more than justified. I think maybe if you're looking from the outside, kind of looking in, it could have seemed a bit premature. But as you know, Everton have played a lot of football this year with the early stages of the Europa League. I think we played something like 15, 16 competitive games so far this year. And I mean, I'd say 90% of it has been absolute dross. Mm. It's not so much the results that have kind of panicked Evertonian. It's more the performances. We spent a lot of money, and it's some of the worst football we've seen for a long time, even including the Martinez era. I think it was more than justified, if I'm being totally honest.
I don't know if you were there at the game or you watched it on TV, but on about two or three occasions, the camera panned to your owner, Mashiri, when you were, I think, like 3-1 and 5-2 down. And he was seen almost smirking and almost laughing as well towards the end. Do you think that this was always going to be, that he was always one more defeat from being sacked? Or am I reading too much into that?
Potentially, yes. I think important thing to note, I mean, I didn't see that, I was at the game. But Mashiri doesn't come to every game. Obviously, he's not based in around Merseyside, so he kind of picks and chooses. And he may have come to this game anyway, because I know he was involved with Arsenal for a while. But it did have a feel of, you know, if we weren't going to win this game, that everyone would be there to kind of make that decision afterwards. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's made that journey to basically give the go-ahead to let him go. We did lose the game, which we did.
Does it worry you that, well, this is the second Premier League club in a week to sack a manager without a replacement coming in? And who's the guy that you want to come in and do that job now?
I mean, that is the question. I think maybe not so much I was concerned that he's gone without someone being lined up, because Everton have got a really good under-23 side. They won the league last year. That's with David Unsworth at the helm. He was a big player for Everton a good few years ago now, actually. But he's been involved with the Everton coaching staff for a while now. So he stepped in once before as an interim manager after Martinez went for the final game of the year, which we won. And he's going to be coming in again as interim. And there's even talk of him being a full-time manager. For me, I think it's a little bit too soon. I don't think he's kind of earned his trade a little bit. I'm happy to see him come in as interim. And then I'd really like to just see Everton take the time with this next kind of appointment, because, you know, we're trying to get back in with the big boys a little bit. At least that's the plan. Trying to invest a little bit more into the club. So I think this next appointment's really got to be the right one.
And just finally, do you think that it's insurmountable now that whoever does come in can still break that top six if it's the right guy? There's enough time to turn it around and go on a run and still achieve what I imagine the owners would have wanted to achieve.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I hate this top six thing, and maybe it's because I'm wearing on in it, but I just think when, you know, you look at this so-called top six, I mean, I'd done a piece on this not so long ago, so I had a little bit of a research into it, and this current kind of, as they're called, top six, have only finished within the top six of the Premier League together twice, I think, in the whole Premier League era. So I don't believe that there is this kind of, like, solid top six the way there's the solid top four in the noughties, and I think it can be broken. You know, you look at Watford now, they look a real surprise package this year. Maybe they will run out of steam, as quite often the case, but I think it's not beyond Everton if they get the right coaching with the investment they've got now to really be looking to, you know, to push that top six. I know they beat us comfortably yesterday, but I think Arsenal have been a little bit vulnerable in years gone by. I know they normally get that top four, but last year they didn't look great. I think Liverpool, I know they finished top four, but they seem to be kind of hit and miss and getting into that top six over the last 5 years. So I think there's teams that can certainly come out and Everton can come in, but it is all about this next appointment appointments as a coach for me.
Just on that, very briefly, is Ancelotti completely out of the question, or do you think you can go bold, throw the money down?
I think in a dream world he's not. I think he would be the perfect choice for Everton, but you know, he's he's still a huge name in football, and I just don't know, even with kind of the financial backing Everton have got now, whether that'll be enough to lure Ancelotti to Everton. As I said, that would be perfect, but I just don't think Everton are in that place right now to attract them. I'd certainly pose the question to him if he wants to challenge and he wants to come back in the Premier League, because I don't think any other kind of jobs in the Premier League will become available that's as big as Everton's. But it's a waiting game, and yeah. I just I'm not sure whether we'd have enough about us right now to get them in.
David, where can people find the Toffee Blues?
Yeah, so if you go on Twitter, the @ handle is @ Everton News Feed, and that's where you find the Toffee Blues. Got links to the website there. I do a lot of the match reports, match previews. I mean, just a lot of writing for them, to be honest. Yeah. So yeah, if you go on there, you'll find everything you need. And I mean, I'm biased, of course, but it's a great account to follow. Yeah, even if you aren't Evertonian.
Listen, David, thanks for your time, my friend.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the rest of the show, guys.
You too, mate. Cheers, mate.
Take care. Bye.
So that's David Gentleman's view on what's gone wrong there. Marvin, what in your view went wrong for Koeman? Was it the players that it was a mishmash of the wrong kind of players? Is it Koeman's inability to be flexible? What do you think ultimately has seen him be fired?
For me, it's all about transfers, right? You get big cash for Lukaku, more than you should, right? And I think it happens a lot where you get that big money in, and it's about how you sign or who you sign. You don't sign another Lukaku. You sign 3 or 4 like good players to replace one.
Eight, nine goals each.
Yeah,
the goals that he.
And I haven't got the full list, George, but I remember being. I think the last pod I was on was Early Doors, and you had an Everton fan on, and he was talking about, was it Sandro? Sandro signing the season. Barca B team. Where's he? Where is he? What's the Dutchman?
Klassen.
Nowhere near what they needed to be. Sigurdsson has looked like £50 million worth of dog shit, ain't he? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. That guy, and it's the same at Spurs. I don't know if Swansea's just the level where he can shine, but when he goes up that tier,
we should have signed him.
Yeah, he just can't cut it, right? Plus, and then you look at,
I'd have spent it.
And you look at Rooney, Klassen, Sigurdsson. They probably all want to play in the same position, right? Calvert-Lewin's, he's young, he's raw. I just think, you know, why is Phil Jagielka still starting? Like, he's been old and slow for ages. He has. Like, wait, like 2-3 years, they bought in Ashley Williams. He's not working out. And it's funny because your comment on the drive-by about the fact that fan should be banned for life, right? Across all things, like, why aren't we saying a bit more about Williams on that?
I've got a question on Williams. Yeah. I haven't neglected to mention him. Let me bring in T on this one. You may know, you may not know, that I've always been quite a fan of Ashley Williams without thinking he's world class centre back. I think he's been a solid Premier League centre back.
Who did you want him to sign for, Jordan? Where did you want him to go?
I wanted him about 3-4 years ago. Arsenal,
let's not say 3-4 years. Let's say 2.
Before he left Swansea, I wanted him. But anyway, so I've been a fan of his. But this season, I'm looking at him, and I'm not seeing a player that's in bad form. It seems more than that. I see an angry player that seems to be kicking everyone, fighting everybody. Even when he was poor at Swansea, his form for Wales was always really, really good. But he was instrumental in that loss against Ireland as well. He seems to have really fallen off a cliff. What do you think has gone wrong with Ashley Williams this season?
I think he was playing... He was playing at a high level for him, to be honest. And I think it's just a matter of age. He's no spring chicken. Mm. And eventually, I think he's a defender that he's not blessed with great technique. He's got okay technique, but it's his physicality. He's an athlete. And so when that starts to go, you know, he's not going to be saved by his reading of the game or his, you know, tactical awareness or anything. So he's going to start to look poor. And that's just what happened. And also, in a team like Swansea, although Swansea are a bit of a very, 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 very poor man's boss in terms of the template they played.
Very poor.
They're that but, very poor.
Just do a different team.
But in terms of the way they defended as a team.
Yeah.
And so Ashley Williams would be on a platform to look good. And he did look good. Because when you defend, I think that's the very best team. That's how they defend, and like that's why Barcelona could put Mascherano in central defence and get away with it, because they defended as a unit. But when the rest of the team is playing poor and you're relying on your defence to save you,
he's exposed.
Yeah,
Ashley Williams. On Marvin's point, briefly, do you think that there should have been more focus on his role in that whole?
Did you see it, T?
I didn't see the whole incident. All I saw was the punch. Oh, so I don't know.
Fan.
Yeah.
So before that, for fans that didn't see it, the keeper's gone up to catch the ball.
He hasn't gone for the ball at all, has he? He's just jumped into the keeper.
No, the keeper's gone up for the ball. No, I know. Yeah. And Ashley Williams has gone to inverted commas challenge him, and he's gone with his forearm into his midriff, and he's done him in the middle, and it's all kicked off. As you didn't see it, I'll ask. Did you see it, Jay? You didn't see it, okay?
I saw it.
So, Mom, you saw it. So
I saw it, so and I thought,
what should have made of it?
It goes back to what you said, Jude. He's just angry. They were they losing or drawing at that point?
I think they were 1-0 down that point. Yeah,
and he was like, I'm just going to do the keeper here, right? And I think the problem for him, you got little chihuahuas like Depay that piled in, and then it all just exploded from there. And he had some backings, but I couldn't believe the ref only gave him a yellow for that.
Okay.
It was intentional, and I don't think he threw a punch, but he was definitely swinging hands.
Yeah.
And I thought he should have gone.
Okay.
And I thought the fan took the spotlight out of, it was just a dirty, frustrated. You know, sometimes when somebody loses the ball and they run back and just tackle
and
from
just
behind, he's just going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what he did. And yeah. I couldn't believe it was a yellow. It was shocking.
Jason, let's go back to Koeman now. What next for him? Because his whole aura seemed to be like, I'm a manager that thinks I'm on the rise to Barcelona. I'm on the managerial step up. Do you know what I mean? That's
well,
where I'm
Swansea
going.
These days.
Yeah. But if he can't cut it at Southampton and in terms of bringing a trophy to Southampton or in Everton, where does he go now? Because he ain't going to get a Barcelona. He ain't going to get a top six Premier League club. What's next for Ronald Koeman?
I think you've got to look at what happened at Everton. I mean, the recruitment there was pretty poor. A lot of fans obviously going on in the summer. Oh, this was amazing. This was fantastic. We're going to be in the Champions League next season. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, of course. But you've got to wait sometimes and see how these players who are relatively unknown can cut it in the Premier League. It was the same at Leicester City this summer. Some of them at the moment aren't, you know, making that grade. As for Koeman himself, I think he'll get a decent job again at some point. He did all right at Southampton 18 months ago, got them in the top half, playing decent football down there, and that's when the links, I guess, with Barcelona were being made, having been an ex-player. He's going to be nowhere near that kind of job now.
No.
But you could see him being in the Premier League once again. I can't see him necessarily going down to the Championship in this country, but if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I could see him managing in, Spain, Germany, maybe back in his native Holland again.
Do you think he's a good manager? Do you rate him? I do rate him, but it's hard for me to defend him based on the last 10 games of performances. He looks like he's inflexible in changing his man management
for me.
That's
as
what
well.
I liked about him, but it seems to have gone against him.
The man management issue was there, I think, at Southampton. The players, I don't think necessarily all of them got on with him, and despite that they still finished in a decent position there. At Everton last year, you know, we had a good season. It was a solid season, but again, when you're given that type of money or that amount of money, are you able to spend it well? And it may not always be down to the manager. You know, Steve Walsh is there, director of football, great recruiter at Leicester City, not necessarily done so at Everton so far when he's had the cash to spend. All right, you might be able to go out and buy these gems.
Bargains
when you've got no money. Riyad Mahrez, for £400,000? Jamie Vardy for £1 million. But when you've got tens of millions of pounds, you're looking at a different type of player. Can they cut it at that level? I'm not sure. But Koeman, I think he'll be all right. I think this will be a blip in the road for him, and he'll be all right long term.
Okay. I think I just think money is a gift and a curse, isn't it? I sort of compare what happened to Everton with me. If somebody gave me 50 million, I would buy some stupid stuff. I'd buy I'd do some of the stuff. People would be like, why the hell have you bought that? It's kind of like Michael Jackson.
No investments in property.
You know, it's like, you know, like why Michael Jackson had the monkey and the oxygen chamber.
Too much money.
Yeah, it's too much money. And when you're sort of, and I think Leicester are a good example, when you are you're familiar with, you know, what scouts in the grassroots and where can you get a like a championship player that can make the step up, you know, like the Kante who was pretty much playing at a lower level in France. It's sometimes the pressure's just off. I think Newcastle
because the has, risk isn't there,
yeah,
is
the
it?
Risk isn't there. And sometimes they're like, you know what, last season you had 10 million, this season you got 80. Go and buy some players. And then you, and you know, even the way the agents are talking to you, it's a different conversation. They know you've got that Lukaku money. You know you've got the Lukaku money. And sometimes it can just be a burden, right?
But the bottom line is, though, Everton sold their best player, Romelu Lukaku. What did they need to buy? They needed to buy a striker. 100%. And they did not do
they
that.
They bought Wayne Rooney.
And on that note,
why is everyone laughing?
To be fair, he's their top scorer, like. He's their top scorer, isn't he?
With two, three?
I thought the goal against you was a good finish.
It was a good finish.
But just to add to that money point, I think prime example of that, Jordan, is Arsene Wenger. Any big money signing he's made, bar Sanchez, has been poor. It's his bargains that, or value for money purchases that have been the ones that, you know, have done well for him. When he's tried to make big signing, Jeffers at the time, just been rubbish. Will Tor,
he was
a good servant for you, but he wasn't, you know.
But Will Tor probably in the days when he knew what he was doing. When he signed Will Tor,
and Will Tor was supposed to be a striker.
A winger?
He couldn't finish.
Up as a wide man.
That's decent, isn't he?
No, I'm saying if you look at his tenure of big money signings, they haven't really worked.
We're going to speak about managers probably next week on the pod, because obviously that's the third manager now within 9 games in the Premier League to go, and that's without mentioning the likes of Bilic and Hughes who are on the brink as well.
You think Hughes is on the ropes?
I think he's a couple more defeats from possibly being in that one more game zone. Do you know what I mean? I think if he doesn't pull it together between now and Christmas, I can see them. Because I think my initial point was, I think owners now are so scared to get relegated. They're taking no risks.
The fear is that you just got, there's no bounce back ability with the championship. You could go there
and be missing for a minute.
Like, look at Sunderland.
Yeah.
Look at, no one wants to be Sunderland, who flirted with relegation for years, went down. And now I think they're in the relegation zone of the championships, or pretty close to it. You can't run.
And there is no guarantee of coming back, as you say. But I mean, after Shakespeare got sacked the other day, I was seeing these patronising pieces in the paper about Leicester City. Oh, you're where you should be, you're where you should be. But if you go down, you can come straight back up and win games. We got relegated 10 years before we came back up, and we went down to League One. It was rubbish.
Save your powder. We're going to come to Leicester in a little bit. So let's go over, guys, a couple of the key games of the weekend. Let's start as we have two United fans in the room with United's loss to Huddersfield 2-1.
I'm going
to
laugh so loudly.
I feel like I've been duped on this one, and this was the plan all along.
You have.
I'm assuming he asked you to do the pod before the result, right? Or did he ask you after the result?
No, it was before. It was before.
So you can't, blame him.
I don't know.
No, it was before. It was before.
It doesn't matter. It was a story of the weekend.
So let's start with UT. Was that a result that you put down to just, it was a bad day, write it off as that they were a better team, it was one bad game, or do you see, or did you see on that performance and result, something that was maybe due to come?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, from when I was watching us in pre-season, we looked dangerous on the counter-attack. We've obviously got a lot more pace with Lukaku, Rashford starting, or Martial, but our performances didn't look fluid. We're most dangerous when teams try and open up against us, which you've seen throughout the season. Towards the end, when teams get a bit tired, they get their lines stop, you know, being so tight, then we take them apart. We're poor when the team sits back and we have to basically break them down because our passing is too slow, we're not fluid enough, and we struggle. And that's why we scored so many goals late in games. So I just saw us doing the same thing again, and to be honest, it was quite disappointing for me. Very disappointing. And I can only blame Jose. A lot of the time, like in the last few seasons, I've been blaming the personnel on the pitch, because I don't think we had the necessary players, but I think we had more than enough to take out Huddersfield. And I think Tom Ince said it. Our team is just, the way we play is just not fluid. It's just very, very static. You don't, and you can see when you watch us play, where our like good attacks come from is when Martial comes inside or where Mata comes inside and people start changing positions and you'll come onto it later, but that's where the strength of City is, and we just don't have that. It's just like side to side, very slow. And that's what happens. So it's no surprise to me, to be honest.
Marvin, where do you lay the blame? Do you think the players were poor on the day and were just out battled, or do you put the players to blame on the manager Mourinho in not preparing his team and not motivating his team to get the job done?
I think it's partly a hangover from the Liverpool game, right? Because I think actually I was harsh on the Liverpool fan that was on last week, because one of the things that he did say was our tactic this season has been try and get like an early goal, a first half goal, and then sort of coast. And once the team we're playing is sort of run out of ideas because the defence has been relatively solid, then the floodgates open and we'll get two or three sort of late goals. And the Liverpool game, you could tell 100% that Jose was like, you know, don't lose this game. I'll take a 0-0 draw. We're on a run. We haven't been beaten in the league.
You think he prepped them to just not lose a game?
I think he did.
Let's get out of here with a draw.
Yeah, I think he did. And I think some of the subs, I can't remember who came on. I think it was like Lindelof or Ashley Young at one point in that game. There was nothing that showed me that we wanted to win it. And you can see by the amount of shots we had, etc. And since then, we just haven't looked good. We haven't. Even that Champions League game, lucky goal because the inexperienced keeper. It's been coming. And actually, I remember Jose made a rough comment around the fact we'll see what our character's like when we lose a game like that. But to your point, George, Huddersfield were definitely more up for it. It was a windy, wet... It was basically a championship-type game in terms of ground, club, weather conditions. And the players just weren't up for it. They weren't up for it at all. I blame Jose, but not because of his ability to motivate the team, but I mean, look at Lindelof. I mean, I don't like to call someone out, but I reckon if Phil Jones plays that whole game, we probably don't lose it. We might not win it, but we probably don't lose it. And I saw a stat the other day that says that we haven't come back from a losing position in the league for like 3 years. So there's definitely a mentality issue there, and Jose clearly isn't the guy to get us out of that funk.
But I think people jump on fight and character and all this cliche things that people like to talk about. The bottom line is there just wasn't enough quality football. I don't think the keeper made a save. Maybe one, but I mean, at least up to about 70 minutes, he definitely hadn't made a save. We did not create any chances.
But if you go player for player, right? If you go player for player, we're a better team, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what did they have that we didn't?
My blame is firmly on Jose.
It's attitude, surely.
Yeah,
it's got to be attitude.
Yeah, like if I'm, is it Wagner? Right, if I'm him, I'm saying this team isn't as good as everybody thinks they are. We're at home. How many times are we going to get to play United? Let's go out and let's make a statement. Mm. And from the get go, they made a statement, and like people are blaming Lukaku, he didn't really get any service whatsoever.
You know what? He didn't get any service, but he's a lazy bastard because our goal came from he decided to run the channel. Yeah, the Rashford goal.
Yeah,
he decided to run a freaking channel. He scored, but he's also missed plenty of chances.
Hang on, let's have a word on Huddersfield now. Jason, what did you make of their performance, and do you see enough from them in the 9 games has been so far to suggest that they're probably going to be all right this year, or is it too early to make that call?
Well, I saw the game against Leicester, 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and again, on that occasion, they wanted it more than Leicester City. They've had that attitude of, you know, we're not going to lie down against a former Premier League champion. They've not been in a great run of form. We're going to take the game to them and we're going to control it. And perhaps on that occasion, they should have won as well. You look at somebody who scored on Saturday for them, Aaron Moy, a quality player, let go by Manchester City. Probably wasn't going to get in their side given the money that they've spent, but a quality player for them, and yeah, I think they've got enough this season. I do. I thought they were going to be favourites to go down. They could still potentially go down, but for me, they've got that fight. They can, especially at home as well. They played Leicester at their place a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, but a good win against Manchester United, and if you get those wins, with the teams in and around you, they can do it. And I think Wagner, whatever you call him, is a quality manager, right, tactically astute, and knows how to set up against a side like theirs.
Okay.
I think everyone knows that.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Let's move on now to the other big game of the weekend. I'll stick with you, Jason. Spurs 4-1 against Liverpool.
We're going to say Swansea-Leicester.
No, not really.
He said big game.
What did you make of that performance? Was that, I mean, it's a very cliche answer, a question, and I hate asking these questions, but was it more a fact of Liverpool were just awful and anybody would have beaten them 4-1, or were Spurs just too good and they would have beaten anybody 4-1?
Bit of both, I think. Spurs were a quality side. This Wembley hoodoo that everybody's been talking about over the course of this season so far, that's well and gone.
You think it's done now?
Oh, yeah, completely. Liverpool are rubbish as well. For a side,
everyone,
alright, rubbish may be going a bit too far, but they've got average players compared to the likes of Man United, Manchester City. I mean, like for like against Arsenal, they're rubbish compared to them as well. They've got average players. The goalkeeper, whichever one you pick, he's average. Lovren, I think he got 3 out of 10 in one of the newspapers this morning.
Did Lovren just bail out? Because I thought he feigned an injury a little bit.
Well, no,
I think he just went over him.
Apparently, he has like an insane amount of painkillers. He's got a back problem. So every match pre-game, apparently, they dose him up on painkillers. I think that it just didn't work on that game and he was in pain from the get-go.
Yeah.
But what I was going to ask you is, do you think now he may be done in terms of Liverpool? Because the way he trudged off and the camera kept panning to him in the stands, it looked like he won't be playing ever again for Liverpool, especially if it wasn't an injury and it was tactical. You're playing crap. Get off.
Well, it's like, we've talked about it off air about the media agenda.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If we weren't thinking it, those constant pans back and forth made us think it.
Yeah. But to be fair, he made like an awful mistake, so they're going to pan to him anyway.
I mean, I can't sit here and criticise Jose for not getting the players up and stuff like that, because, I mean, Klopp came into the side. Before he took over the management, defence was an issue. Now, how long has he been there? 2 years?
Two and a half years.
Defence is still an issue.
Spot on.
And I don't care. Like, for me, it frustrates me when we're talking about managers who have played the game, who know a lot more than us. We're sitting here just armchair fans, and we can fundamentally see the issue with the squad. At least with Jose, he knew we didn't have that Matic type player. So he went out and got that Matic type player. You got to just know your needs. And for them to spend 40 million on Oxlade-Chamberlain, right? If I'm a Liverpool fan, I'm thinking, like, Van Dijk, it didn't happen. Where's my plan B? I can definitely get a better CB.
But why doesn't a transfer like that happen? If you really, really wanted him, Liverpool have got the money. Just go out and spend
There's
it.
There's 80 million,
he
90
wanted
million,
to
get
go,
it
done. So go and spend the money.
I disagree, right? I get your point, but for me, I still believe in the sanctity of pound sterling, right? And for me, it's like, Van Dijk is not more than a 50 million pound player. So eventually, you got to say, Southampton, you're taking the piss. But what you do is you say, Southampton taking the piss, I'm now going to go to plan B. Because I'm not even sure Matic was our first choice in that DM role, right?
No, he wasn't.
I think Dyer was in the mix as well. So, yeah. But Jose knew, right? These guys are taking the piss.
All right.
Let's make that move.
And get it done.
That's it.
Let me move on. Just finally, on Tottenham, T, do you think Danny Rose is also done at Spurs? Because they're looking like left back, they're looking okay. He spoke out of turn, according to Tottenham, in the summer. Do you think he'll struggle to get back in that Spurs team?
No. Not based on his performance last year, because Aurier, I mean, is that his name? Aurier?
Yeah.
Although,
I know you're just going to slate him now.
although obviously Tottenham played well and he's good going forward, he was getting roasted by Salah.
But everyone gets roasted by him at the moment.
I mean, just raw pace. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know.
He's roasted most players in the league. He roasted most.
But Aurier's supposed to, like, he's big. He's he's got fast twitch genes. He should be able to run quickly. And the way, the head start he gave him and the way he roasted him, I just don't think that wouldn't have happened to
Danny
Rose.
Davies has been playing well. So he's got
I tell you what, Trippier has been fantastic.
He's been very good.
Like, if I was them and I saw, was it 50 million for Walker and I got Trippier, plus I went and got Aurier for half of that?
Yeah.
That's good business. Yeah.
And who's, and the lad, Sanchez. Who's the other lad down there? Walker.
Carl Walter Peters. Isn't he the right back though?
Yeah,
he's the right back.
But he's like 4'4". He'll never make it.
We need to buy some of those fullbacks.
He'll never make it, that one. He's like 4'4".
Right.
I hope we take Danny Rose in January, to be honest.
So let's talk a little bit about Man City, because I did say last week we would talk about City because they are the league leaders. They are looking like they're a bit of a juggernaut and looking to rip up the whole league at the moment. T, how do you beat this Man City team? I want to have a convo with you guys about how, because I asked a question a few weeks ago, are they unbeatable? And it was slightly in jest, but probably a better question is, how do you beat this Man City team?
You play them in their 11th game like last season.
Was that a Tottenham game?
I mean, to be fair, City are looking good, but by no means are they unbeatable. I mean, in Pep Guardiola's side, you know, they're always going to give you a chance. Most of the time when I watch City, it's Walker flying down the right wing. So if Walker's up there, there's obviously nobody at right back or right wing back. Mm. So I think the way... You can definitely beat City by beating them, playing them on the counter-attack. I guess the thing is you need to stop them burying you first. Mm. And they are a quality team. And I guess, unfortunately, there's not really many other quality teams in the Premiership right now. So only Tottenham, really. Anyone else is just, you know, not that great. We might have a chance against them because, as I said, our strength, us being Man U, our strength is counter-attack. Mm. But... yeah, their attack is ferocious, and I mean I have to applaud Pep, like his attacking philosophy. I love it. I don't think there's very few managers that would play a 4-3-3, and in that 4-3-3, in the midfield three have
only one DM.
Have KDB and Silva. Yeah. Like, who does that? And to be fair, Fernandinho, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the Premier League, because he allows them to do that. He's a top quality box to box player.
Ooh.
And yeah, no, he is. I mean,
I'm not. I'll give him one box.
His attack is underrated. Definitely underrated. So it's like you've got KDB, you've got Silva. They pull wide.
So are we calling him this these days? Because I'm seeing it everywhere now. KDB. Can't we just call him De Bruyne?
It's laziness. We're lazy. I like an acronym.
It's like Chelsea calling Aspilicueta quite a Dave, isn't it?
I like an acronym.
It's lazy. But yeah, then you've got Sané, Sterling, and then you've got Walker and.
KW,
yeah, flying down the flank. So it's a lot to contend with.
Marvin, you were on the pod, I think the first pod of the season we did, where Ollie was on it, and he made the point that he didn't think City would do well because his concern was that Pep couldn't keep all these top players happy. How do you keep all these top players content? He seems to be doing it so far. Do you think that this will continue, or do you think there will come a point where there will be Bernardo will get pissed off that he's not starting games? He's quality. I don't know. Other players that should be in the team, they feel, will start getting a bit like, hang on a minute.
I don't know. I think there's two things, right? They're in all of the competitions, so there's a shed load of games to go around. Mm. Especially coming up to Christmas, you're going to get a bit of rotation. And secondly, I always find people get pissed when the team's not playing well and you think you can contribute. I feel like Bernardo can't go and knock on Pep's door and
say, I can be better than De Bruyne.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think, you know, T was complimentary about Fernandinho, and the person I'm complimentary of is KDB, right? He is, as far as I'm concerned, he's playing the best football in the Premier League right now, without a doubt. And like comparisons, you know, we've been in groups, comparisons like people like Eriksen, they don't come close. They don't come close to what this guy is doing. His final ball, I'm not sure I'm seeing anyone deliver it better in all of the top leagues in Europe right now, right? And I think, to your point, I think Pep will have issues if the wagon comes off the road. I think at the moment he's doing quite well, and he's been blessed with, you know, there's been an injury there, an injury here. And I thought Sterling, for instance, would be somebody who...
Yep.
There would be a bit of a murmur because, you know, they pay 50 million for him, and he's been the guy to sort of make way if he wants to mix it up, right? But he's come in, he's done the job, and I think Pep's got that balance of, I might drop you, so give me a performance. And actually, a lot of them are giving him the performance that he's after. I mean, one of the things for me, to your question that you asked T about how you beat him, I still think fullbacks is what you do, right? Because I think they play Delph left back at the moment, mm-hmm. right? They've got injuries there. And I think, I can't remember who they played. It might have been Everton. Somebody said that Otamendi's like a terrible footballing defender. Mm. Like he can leave a mark on you, but he's not like gifted. And I mean, the main issue, my chink with City was always defence, right? Yeah. I still think it is an issue, but you look at the defence, they're keeping clean sheets. That's a concern to me. Mm. Because if they can keep it tight at the back, you know they're going to score goals. Yeah. And I think even if they do concede, they're just like, shit, we've conceded. Let's batter him. you know what I mean? It's like, all right, we've now not tight, so let's just score more than this. You know what I mean? And the last thing is,
and actually,
T's like, United could do it. United could not do it right now. And that was we play him right now. They win.
I didn't say we will. I just said we had the tools to do it.
I mean, our tools don't
work. They don't work.
But as United fans, I don't want them right now, George. And it's coming up. I think it might be December.
I think it's November. I think it's not.
Well, I'd rather it in November and December because I want to enjoy my Christmas.
but I think you said about Manchester City there. I mean, I watched the game against Crystal Palace a few weeks ago. I know they hammered them in the end, but actually Palace had a decent spell in the first, 40-odd minutes and a few chances. But you know that Manchester City have got that extra gear. They weren't playing, you know, anywhere near their best against Crystal Palace in that first half. But they got that goal before half time and then just raced away with it. But you know they can go third, fourth, fifth. And
yeah, John Stones, there's question marks over him. There are companies not fit. Yeah. There are issues
they're
there.
They're defensively.
Yeah.
Hang on. I want to talk about Sterling because you mentioned Sterling. Yeah. And on the pod, we have been quite scathing of Sterling in the last couple of years. We're not massive fans of Sterling.
Who's we?
The majority of people that feature on the pod, and I'm sure you've been, actually no, to be fair, you've not been too critical of Sterling.
I'm not a massive fan, but you've sometimes been... you pick and choose whether you're aligned or you're not. Like you made a couple of comments earlier that I let slide about, you know, I'm a big fan of his, I'm a big fan. What, you wanted Williams? Coleman. Yeah. And you wanted Williams at Arsenal. And
I've not hidden that.
You loved them, right?
And I'm media man.
You underplayed it. You know what I mean? You've loved them, and I think what is highlighted is you ain't got a clue.
That bit we edited out. But I've not been a big fan of Sterling, and many people on the panel haven't been on this pod. But I'm a fair man. At the moment, he's playing very, very, very well. Mm. What's your view on him? Do you think that he's an underrated? I mean, we need to start respecting this guy, this young English talent, or just a really good patch where he's on form?
I think he's inconsistent. I think with a lot of England players or English players, you see that for club and country. I mean, it was talk of him going to Arsenal, wasn't there, in the window, at the end of the window, and I think he said quite recently that he never even entertained the idea of going there. Do I like him as a player? Yes, when he's on form, he's a fantastic player, but we don't see enough of it, for club and country. Whether he's worth the money that was paid for him a few years ago, whether you get that sort of money again, I'm not so sure, but in today's market, you could, you know, pay 60, 70 million pounds for that sort of player. Would it be my side on a regular basis at Manchester City? No, I don't think so. Not with the form of a lot of the other players there. Mm. And you go back to, you know, the squad that's there at the moment. The reason they're doing well because they've got that competition for places, or it might be a bit of a cliche to say that.
No.
It's a quality squad there.
There's some quality players in that team, top players. Do you think they respect him now? Do you think you look at him and think you're worthy of being in the squad, whereas maybe a year ago they were like 50 million? What's the hype about? Do you think now he's earned their respect?
Who signed? Was it Pellegrini that signed him?
Yeah.
I still think it wasn't what he wanted, right? I think he wanted to come back to London at that time. But I think Liverpool wanted big cash, and I think Arsenal was his preference.
Yeah.
And there's no way Wenger's going to pay that cash. So I don't think it was scripted, and City's just got cash for days. Mm. And I thought it could really go wrong for him here, because if he does like a poor first season, they'll get someone in to take his place. Mm. So I you know, credit to his character, right? Because he could have definitely faded away, and like Delph has done, right? Delph took the cash.
He's injured,
and he's injured, but he's not. I don't think he'll ever be a starter at City.
No.
But I just want to say something on Sterling. On. To be honest, like Sterling, if you know the type of player I like, Sterling is right up my alley.
See, and tell the listeners what you like.
I like a player that has some skill, likes to dribble past players.
I think they're called show ponies.
Some people call them show ponies.
All people except you call them show ponies.
They said Ronaldo is a show pony. But anyway,
And I just think he's just not, he's nowhere near the player he was at Liverpool. You see, you could, the English media, no, he's not. English media, they've destroyed Sterling. And to be honest, it's his lack of character that he's allowed them to destroy himself. No. But like, you can see the confidence when he gets the ball, he's scoring goals. It reminds me a bit of when Wayne Rooney scored the 30 goals when Ronaldo left. And he was scoring goals, but his overall game was poor. And that's just the same with Sterling. He's scoring goals and he's being in the right position at the right time. But his overall game, what you would expect from a player of that caliber, yeah, if they were Spanish or Brazilian, like, you know, to beat players, to be their overall game, to be taking players out of the game, to be assisting, to, you know, really being that marquee player. He's nowhere near their marquee player. When he gets the ball, he's always looking for the easy option. His quality of crosses isn't great. He's happened to be in good goal scoring form, but his overall game is average. Okay.
I think you've been I'm not a fan of his, but I think you've been a little bit harsh, Jared.
Yeah, man, that was scathing.
I'm not even a fan of him. Especially when the guy's on form as well.
Yeah, like. He's scoring goals, but he is not playing particularly well.
Okay, a couple more points. Jason, come back to you. The goalkeeper. Pep's he's been looking for a good goalkeeper. Do you think he's finally found a really good goalkeeper, or has he just not been tested yet?
He's not found a good goalkeeper yet.
You don't think?
No.
From what you've seen, you don't rate him?
No, I don't rate any of the goalkeepers at Manchester City. I haven't really been for a long, long time. Why actually not? They're just not good enough, are they? They're not that caliber of player. I mean, we talked about the defence at Manchester City a little bit earlier, and it starts with the goalkeeper. I mean, you've got to have a goalkeeper that's commanding. But does he want this ball-playing goalkeeper? I know we saw it last season a little bit, didn't we? But
so what is it? What is it about? Mistakes. That's interesting. What is it about this keeper that you don't particularly, you're not having him? Because I think it's now 10 clean sheets and 11. Like, you know what I mean? Even if you're an average goalkeeper, that's an impressive, do you know what I mean, run of clean sheets.
Specifically... I don't know. I'm just not buying him.
Fair enough.
I think it's harsh, to be honest.
Fair enough.
I think the jury's still out. Says
the guy just battered Sterling a minute ago.
You've got to go with the stats, right? Like, when was the last time City's kept that many clean sheets in the top half of the
no
season?
With no company in front of the
ball. Going with the stats. Him saying flipping Lukaku earlier. He's lazy. Stats, scores goals.
It's true.
Yeah, but you heard what
he... You can't be lazy.
You heard what he said.
Stand in the box and score goals.
You heard what he said. He really underplayed it, but if you can't do 12 step overs, then you're going to stop. And Lukaku can't do that. Yeah. So you know, I think it was Mark Hughes that said Pep would pay like
11 midfielders.
Pep is Terence.
Terence, I'll come back to this point. Final point. Gabriel Jesus. It was a couple of pundits I've heard say in the last couple of weeks that they see him, this young talent, as the best young player they've seen since Messi. Would you put him up there as one of the best young talents since Lionel Messi? Who since Messi would you say is better?
I'd say Mbappe looks like he's got more ability than Jesus.
Really?
Yeah. I think to compare anyone to Messi...
No, there was a comparison. They were saying they've not seen a talent that good since Messi.
No. I'd say Mbappe looks like he has more talent than Jesus. To be fair, the jury, it sounds harsh, but the jury's always out for me on Jesus. Not that he wasn't a good player, but just how good he was. Like, I couldn't believe they would play Jesus over Aguero, who I thought, you know, was pretty much one of the best strikers in the world.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the more I've watched him, he has looked very good, but I think Jesus is a very good striker. And I think to be one of the best talents since Messi, you have to be a very good player, like literally drag the team along. And I don't think he's of that caliber. Maybe he will come to be, but that, I don't see it. Whereas I think in Mbappe, he looks like he is of that caliber.
Okay, all right. Let's move on now, guys. I want to talk about Leicester City. We have Jason here.
It's your
moment. Leicester City sacked their manager, Claudio Ranieri? No, Craig Shakespeare, or Shakey, as he's referred to by many, just last week. Jason, what I want to know from you is about the club's identity now and what that is. Because I heard Leicester fan on the radio, I've said this last week, a couple of weeks back, and he was really making good points on the radio about how he felt that the club had missed an opportunity to assert themselves as an established top 10 team after winning the Premier League.
Sure, it wasn't me a couple of weeks
ago. It might have been you actually on the radio, but he felt they'd slipped back in to now being little old Leicester, let's just try and stay in the league. And after you win the Premier League, you need to do more than that. Would you agree that you've missed an opportunity after winning the Premier League to be a top 10 team?
That guy that you heard is 100% spot on. Wholeheartedly agree with him. I mean, I've spoken it. I mean, I work for the BBC and TalkSport. Worked on a game a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it was before the West Brom game where we drew 1-1, of course, and obviously Shaky's last game in charge. But I was talking before that game about the legacy. There has been no legacy from that Premier League winning season. And don't get me wrong, I didn't think we were going to win it again. I didn't necessarily think we were going to get in the Champions League or Europe again. But I just wanted to see solid foundations put down to become for Leicester City to become an established Premier League side that's in the top 10 year in, year out. I wouldn't have minded a completely boring season this year where there wasn't a manager going, finished 11th in the table, got to the semi-final of the FA Cup or whatever, and that had been done with it. I just wanted to see, I guess progress is maybe the wrong word, but from where Leicester City were, what, 3-4 years ago in the Championship, and I mentioned it earlier, not only 10 years ago in League One, just wanted to see something to move them forward. And we mentioned it earlier that recruitment has been pretty poor over the last three windows. All right, the jury's out on a couple of the players that have come in the summer. Ian Acho's not really got off to a great start, but he's been injured. Started against West Brom the other night, but him and Vardy, I don't think that's going to work as a partnership. They're too similar to each other, and Ian Acho's just not going to displace Vardy. It's got to be Vardy or Okazaki, Vardy and Okazaki in the side, as we saw on Saturday. But you go back to the window after we won the Premier League season, after we won the Premier League, and none of those players are here anymore, apart from Moussa and Slimani. Moussa's nowhere near the first team at the moment because he's a bad player. He's a terrible
That's not
player.
Very good.
And this is somebody that Steve Walsh had apparently been looking at for a long, long time. Okay. Islam Slimani, another one. He's just not suited to the Premier League. He did all right in the EFL Cup a couple of weeks ago against Sheffield United, but it was Sheffield United, for God's sake. And again, the window that we saw Ndidi come in, again, had a decent start. He's not N'Golo Kanté, and he never will be. Nobody will be that player because he is a world-class player, and Leicester City have missed him greatly. But he's a good young player that could still potentially turn out to be great. I think he will be good. And we saw on Saturday that Vicente Ibora, who was the Sevilla captain, who came in the summer, all right, it was against Swansea. Leicester City performed well at the weekend. They controlled that game from start to finish. And it was because of Ibora screening in front of the back four. Indeed, he was allowed a bit more free will to go forward, and that just allowed Leicester City to look a bit more like the team a couple of years ago.
Was the sacking justified, or was the snitch given the snip?
Leading the witness.
You've been thinking of that all day. I was, 2 days actually.
And then you
was
Googled
it justified? I think it was inevitable. I think it was going to happen at some point.
It felt like they were waiting for one big cock-up before they kind of had an excuse to give him the bullet.
And don't get me wrong, I love Shaky. I think he's a lovely man. I've spoken to him on several occasions.
Can't we just call him Shakespeare?
You have a moan about KDB. You know, Shaky this, Shaky that.
This is long-standing, though. Lovely man, great number two. Whether he found the step up to be a number one, just that little bit too much. But I will always be grateful for what he did for the football club. The owners are a bit more ruthless than maybe I would be. Was it justified? I don't think just yet. I think there are more problems at Leicester City than just the manager. I've mentioned the recruitment. The director of football, John Rudkin, has come in for a lot of criticism over the last few weeks since the Adrian Silva 14-second saga. What a screw up that was. And there was a banner at the weekend saying Rooking out. So the problems are deeper than just the manager. And who they appoint next is going to be showing us what the identity is, you mentioned, of Leicester City is going to be going forward.
Where are you going? They've got, looking through their squad last week, and player-wise, there's some good players in that Leicester team. They've got a decent back four, a good goalkeeper. They've got about 17 strikers, but there's two or three decent strikers in that front line. They've still got Mahrez. do you think that with the right manager, and I think it was Simeone about 4 weeks ago on the pod said someone like Rafa Benitez could do a really good job with that Leicester squad. Do you, you're looking at me like you don't agree, but do you think there's a squad there that with the right man, they could still get a top 10 finish?
I was just thinking, why the hell would Rafa go to Leicester City from Newcastle?
Well, at the time, he was under pressure from Ashley, but now Ashley's going, he might get a bit, he's on form now as well,
I mean, the fact they've still got Mahrez and Vardy, who are their marquee players from that season, you would expect them to be doing better. Because although obviously they had Kante and they haven't replaced him, and obviously Drinkwater has gone.
anybody seen him?
You would have thought they would have been, even if they couldn't get players that would perform to the standard they performed to in that season, you'd have thought they'd be able to get players, you know, kind of near with the resources they had. Not Kante, but Drinkwater. And Mahrez and Vardy, they were the difference makers, and the fact that, you know, they're not performing to the same standard is what's hurting them. If at top clubs, if, you know, I mean, obviously top clubs have more, sorry saying top clubs, but you know what I mean. Top quality players, but if those players don't perform, you know, Lukaku doesn't score goals, even though I was harsh on him, you know, if De Bruyne doesn't perform, then those teams don't win the amount of games and the games they do. And I think the finger's got to be pointed at them. You had a very good win on Saturday. Why? Because Mahrez turned up. So, I mean,
yes, he played well, but he wasn't the factor. Shinji Okazaki starting the game was the key factor. He allows Leicester City to play at the intensity.
Yeah,
as we know, he is the main man for me at the moment.
Sorry, go on.
No. So I was going to say I can see that because I think I remember when we had Tevez and Rooney, and when that season we won the Champions League, and I remember saying to Marvin, we've got the two most defensive strikers in the league. And it sounds weird because obviously Tevez and Rooney had a lot of quality, but you can't underestimate that defending off from the front. You know, although everyone, you know, goes on about Messi, etc., that is what peak Barcelona did. They defended from the front, and it just sets the tempo. So I can
finally
agree with that.
On Okazaki, Marv, do you think he must be that really annoying player for a Leicester fan, because you want him in your team because he has an impact when he does play, and he's clearly a difference when he's in the team because of what he can offer, but he's not good enough to be the main guy to score the 20 goals that are going to ultimately see you propel up the table? He's a Robin to a Batman, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think Vardy or Mahrez is your Batman. I think he is, and I don't want to be too cliche about it, but as T said, there are some people who are kind of the unsung heroes who, you know, will put a shift in. Like, he'll run all day. I think it was against, was it Arsenal opening day of the season you played?
Yes.
And he played in that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I thought he was really good.
He was.
And for me, it's one of those things where I don't want, like, I'm going to get slated, and I know the boys that will slate me for this, but it was just Kante. I think the league was all about Kante. Everybody talked about Mahrez, everyone, Vardy's run and all that stuff, right? But it's almost like, I think of those three, who were probably the three names, you could have let any of the other two go.
Spot on, you're spot on.
And it wouldn't have made such an impact. There are some players in a certain system that are just simply irreplaceable, right? And I think he was one of them. I mean, we tried to put Valencia in for Ronaldo. Do you know what I mean?
We still won the league, though.
We still won the league, yeah, fair enough. But there was just some... And like, it's so weird because timing is such a thing, because when Chelsea signed him, I thought, it's a bit heavy. It's a bit on the heavy side. But if he goes now, you probably pay about 70 mil for him. And not that he's playing, like, I think he's had a bit of patchy form, like, especially the last season a little bit. But, like when, like, Matic, you know, they got no problem letting those people go because he is just simply a great player. And he doesn't want the limelight. He's, in fact, the perfect footballer across the board, because he doesn't want it. He wants to do his job. He wants to just live a humble, just such a humble guy.
Still drives a mini, I think.
Yeah, still drives a mini. And like, I like Mahrez, but he has, like, we're talking about him. If he doesn't go in January, he'll be gone in the summer, right? And I put him in the same.
Who's going to want him? Nobody wanted him 2 months ago.
I think, you know, you could probably...
The price will drop, I think.
The price will drop, and I think an Italian team will probably pay for him. I don't think he'll go Prem. But I just, I think that, I agree with what you said. Like, again, it comes to the point, on a smaller scale, but it's not... When you have such a great season... Like, we were baying for their blood. I know I was, Jude. Like, I thought there's no way they're going to be able to live up to it. And transfers, signings, the people that went out, the people that came in, it you knew that there was going to be problems. And, you know, like, the shaky that I thought the way they handled Claudio Ranieri, and he was poor, but the way it was handled, I was disappointed with. Yeah. And I, you know what? There is something to say about pride, which is dead in the game now, but... When a manager wins you the league, a little bit more leeway would have been nice, right?
Even if it means, we don't want to go back over old ground, but even if it means there's a chance we're going to go down.
Well, listen, if there's a chance that I'm going to go down, I don't promote my number two, right? Okay, I'll get rid of Ranieri, right? Mm, fair enough.
But get better.
But get better, because at that point, you're still in the Champs League, right? You can get someone better than Shakespeare. Like, it's weird because they didn't reward Ranieri for... his hard work, but they rewarded his number two. Mm. And I never liked it, and the stories that came out, especially Vardy, and like one of the things that
don't necessarily believe all you hear though.
Well one of the things that was interesting is I've been watching that Vardy Academy. I don't know if you've watched it.
I'm not caught up on it actually, no.
And I've just got, and I don't want to say like who wears the trousers and be stereotypical here, but you look at that dynamic, right? And his wife is running the show there, right? She is fundamentally running the show, even her tweets and everything that's gone on. And Vardy is somebody who definitely believes his own hype, right? That rags to riches, look at me, I'm now...
He's rinsing it, isn't he?
He is rinsing it. And
to be fair, he has done that. It's a great story.
It is a great story. He worked in a factory, blah, blah, blah. But again, I'm going back to Kante. You have to bloody really do some Google work or rely on some Sky work to know anything about Kante's backstory. And I think it's come down to that. It's nobody's fault. He deserved a better club. It's happened, but Leicester haven't recruited well. But I do like Maguire, though. I'm a big fan of
him. Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah.
I like him.
Just finally, Jason, who would you want to see come in now, then? Who's the guy that you think?
Do not say Ancelotti. Right, give Ancelotti a bit more credit here.
I mentioned Ancelotti because Everton are a big club. They're a big club. Shout. They've got money behind them. If I'm Everton, I'm thinking
money.
Be ambitious.
It's the argument you and I have had and other people about world class. Like, we need to quantify big club here because their ground is not huge. They are the second biggest club in their city. I don't know where...
Of all the big clubs left to go to, where can he go? He's running out of clubs.
But why? If he doesn't get Prem, why wouldn't he go and apply his trade at a big club in Italy or Spain?
Well, I think his first choice is to go back to Milan. I think their guy will be sacked soon.
Yeah, that's most likely.
Yeah. But I think if that doesn't happen, I'm thinking in England, there's only... Where else can he go in England?
I think it's the money. Because it's not like he's... You know, he's been around the world. He's done it. So it's not like he's still probably got a burning desire to go and manage in a particular place. So I think if Everton give him a king's ransom, then I think...
And add to your CV, I can get Leicester top six. I can get Everton top five, top four.
But the truth is, I don't think he can.
We never know. Who do you think of the names?
Well, Pellegrini is the favourite at the moment, isn't he? But he's in China. I think he's got another year on his contract. So I think the Chinese league season finishes next month, if I remember rightly. There's been talk of Sean Dyche, but again, Everton have been linked with him. Would I have him down at Leicester? Yeah, I think so. Mm. Yeah. He's been a bit moany over the years about, you know...
I can't get a big job.
Well, being a victim as well. Well, Burnley are a small club. We have spent a lot of money, to be fair.
On garbage.
But spent it nevertheless.
Doing okay. Yeah. We're doing all right.
I think if you... Sean Dyche isn't for you, you're better than that. That's what I'm going to say. Sam Maledici?
He says he would like it, but he can't take it at the moment. I think there may be some sort of contractual issue with Crystal Palace there, given the way he left the football club.
Pardew's linked as well.
I'd like to see
some more creativeness with managers now.
This is a great shout.
Maybe not him, but look, there's more players than Allardyce and flipping.
I hadn't heard of Marco Silva before he came to this country.
To be fair, it's quite difficult, and it's a point I wanted to make. Like, obviously Koeman did well at Southampton, then tried to step out to a bigger club, failed. Moyes did well at Everton, tried to step out to a bigger club, failed. Pochettino is a bit of a rare breed, and Silva, I mean, it's early days, but it's a, just because
it's not
a
even
manager
been in this country a year, but, is it? We're talking him like
just,
he's brilliant.
But just because a manager does well at a small club doesn't it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be able to replicate it. Sometimes it just doesn't work.
But I think, because my point initially about clubs not wanting to take a risk on going down. So Leicester, I think their mindset's going to be, we need a guy that's going to guarantee us staying in the league, rather than we need a guy who's young, can give us 4 or 5 good years and progressively get us up the table.
That's the money.
Palace thought that. They went with De Boer and they panicked and they thought, we're going down, get rid of him.
Well, there you go, that's what they got.
And then they thawed out Roy Hodgson, didn't they?
Why? Because they think he's the guy to keep us in the league.
Yeah, yeah. I just waste the money.
I
the money.
Think he will. I think he will keep him up.
But probably will, but
it's the money, though.
Just more
you're being a bit of a romantic, because if you were the owner of that club and at the end of the day it's a business, you're going to want that profit.
Maybe. I mean, no one, as far as I'm concerned, that's been sacked so far shouldn't have been sacked. Like, we're talking about players going, I mean, the ball, the Palace hadn't scored a goal, right? Leicester were in trouble, and Koeman, I mean, you don't get packed out at your own ground by Arsenal and not expect repercussions.
It's like he was an enemy of pace. like you've signed Wayne Rooney and Sigurdsson.
Let's move on now, guys. I want to move on now to our final topic. I want to talk about the comments that Troy Deeney made last week about Arsenal after their 2-1 win. And I want to widen it out to disrespect in general in the game. But if we start with those comments, start with you, Marvin. Do you think Troy Deeney was disrespectful in his comments about Arsenal?
I think he was... I think he was disrespectful with the articulation of what he said.
So let me read it to our listeners in case they haven't heard.
But make sure you put an accent on it, on that word. don't just say it in English.
I won't be doing that. I have to watch what I say, but having a lot of cojones, I think the word is, having a bit of nuts. Whenever I play Arsenal, and this is just personal, I go up and I think, let me whack the first one. Let's see who wants it. I came on today, I jumped up with Mertesacker, didn't even have to jump actually, nod it down, the crowd gets up and they all just backed off. that was a sliver of the overall interview, and he did about 5 interviews, to be fair, saying the same thing. Is that out of order?
Well, first of all, you know what surprised me about the whole situation, Jordan, is why on earth did BT have Troy Deeney up in the studio after that game?
Why not?
He's building his media profile.
Like, I've never seen it where they've gone, all right, mate, like, you've played, like, fair enough, have a chat, like, downstairs.
He's making himself very accessible.
He's making himself very accessible, and I think it was very accurate. I agree with a lot of what he said, but all of that was about Troy Deeney. It was a message to Silva to say, look at me, I came on and I did the business, I should be starting every week. It was a message to, once I'm finished at Watford, look at the way I call it, how I see it. And even the way BT did it, where... And I'm not a massive... I'm a bit of a voyeur on Twitter. I don't tweet a lot, but I read a lot. And I watched... I read what was said. And a lot of people were saying, you're a shit player. Right? Like, all this big talk. You scored a pen. You were never scoring from open play.
This is what I mentioned, disrespect. Yeah. But go on.
But BT read every tweet that licked his ass. It's refreshing to have someone like Troy Deeney. It's this and that. Oh, it's lovely to have a plain speaking, blah, 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 blah. And he's talking about his son and the text messages. And I mean, I've been a detractor of his because he, I think, contributed a lot to the downfall of the last manager. And I think he's well aware now that Silva does not need him, right? I think that's confirmed. I think he's still, even the way he talked about Richarlison, I thought it was quite patronising in the way he described it. But I think to look at the facts, we all know Arsenal are soft. We all know Mertesacker
doesn't want it.
He's just not up to it. He hasn't been for years.
Too much Bob Marley before the game.
I think if you look at the comments, I thought it was quite thuggish. Like, I actually thought the days of what you're saying, I love those days, but they've kind of gone. Like, if I've got to pick a ability over someone that's just going to leave a mark on a defender, like, you might be able to disrupt Mertesacker, you might be able to disrupt a Chris Smalling, but as someone like a
an Otamendi or a Bailly,
he's about it.
Yeah, they'll kick the shit out of you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and you are not blessed with pace. Mm. You're not blessed with ability, right?
To what else do you have?
You got a head on you where when the chips are down and a pen comes, it's you got the stones to step up and get it. But I think I'm not a fan of his, and I think we talk a lot about media agendas. I think BT gave him a real platform that I've never seen them give anybody else. Ever. I've never seen a player go up after the game, do that, have tweets bigging you up, and then to the way he said it to Arsenal about Arsenal, I thought the tone was quite disrespectful, but the message was correct.
No, I was just gonna say I kind of half agree, but kind of half disagree as well. I think Sky, in terms of their access to players and managers, have obviously stepped it up this season. And BT's angle has always been, we're going to get underneath it. That's their, because Sky are big, you know, big, powerful. They get access to everything. And BT's one is very much, you know, we're one with the fans. You know, we're going to be a bit more real about it. And I think Troy Deeney probably happened to be the player that they happened to get access to and could spin a story. So I definitely do think they did it for that. And they saw an opportunity.
Do you have an issue with that? Because Marvin clearly doesn't like that.
Well, I think he's talking more about the execution. I don't think he was as disrespectful as Marv's saying, because...
But see, he said, I've got to watch what I say. Yeah. And then he was rude.
Yeah.
it wasn't like he tempered anything.
But what he also said, what he also held his hands up was, they're better than me, they're faster than me, they've got more skill than me. But the attributes I have...
But isn't that just basically saying, I'm going to be nice, because up and coming now, I'm going to be really horrible and rude?
I don't mean to be rude, but...
I'm going to be rude.
No, I don't. You can take it like that. And obviously there was an element of rudeness, but at the same time, he was saying, these are the attributes I have. If I try and play football with them, which he said other teams do try and do, and they get played off the park, then, you know, you need to play to your strengths. And my strengths are being a thug. So that's what I'm going to do. And I think, you know, he told her how he is. Troy Deeney isn't an educated man, so, you know, he can't articulate himself in the most eloquent...
No, I think he can articulate himself.
He's not going to do it in the most eloquent of ways, so, you know...
But I think that's deliberate. He wants to come across as...
The real guy.
The realist, yeah.
I'm not saying it wasn't... He didn't want to come across like that, so that's why I was saying I half disagree with you. But at the same time, the bigger issue is, why does he think that works, you know? I mean, Arsenal, you're an Arsenal fan.
We're not going to go down that road.
No, why not?
We can all agree that the what he said was correct. Yep. We all know that. So that's not even worth
100%,
discussing.
100%, yeah?
100%. Okay. So I'm not going to... That's no point going down the road.
You never
want to
talk about Arsenal.
I'm just interested. Just 1-5-2, I've not mentioned it. So, you know... If this
you kind of did.
That will be kept in mind. Jason, as a person that works in the media, do you... Like Marvin saying there, he doesn't like how BT manipulated getting a Premier League player, being as honest. They really did go to town on it and made it a big deal of it. Do you think that they were right in rinsing what they said, or do you think that there was a responsibility to maybe not portray this, it's okay to be a thug because he's being honest and open, and we want that as the media?
As somebody who works in the media, I think BT were... fantastic.
Yeah,
I thought they were fantastic with the way it came across, the way it was handled, and the fact that they've got so much publicity out of it is fantastic for them.
Because they would have known when the game finishes, he's got the crucial goal, made the impact. They would have known that Troy Deeney is the sort of player that doesn't hold back. They would have told their person on the pitch side in the mix zone, get Troy Deeney, get him live, because they know he will speak openly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And as somebody who works in the media, and also a football fan, I'm sick to death of the bland, boring interviews that we hear from footballers both before and after games. They say nothing at all, and they are media trained with an inch of their lives.
Mm. That's the media's fault.
How is it the media's fault?
It is because the media.
But that's the reason
that, you know, they cover their mouths, etc., is because they'll get castrated for anything they do. So that's why they're...
That's why they're so cautious. Somebody who, unfortunately for me, I pay for BT Sports, right? Because United are in the Champions League. I don't know how often that's going to happen. And
the bottom,
I get what you're saying. Like, it was definitely not the norm, what we saw.
No.
But let's not give BT Sport too much credit, because if you want to go panelists and you talk about bland, we're talking about Owen Hargreaves, Michael Owen, Steven Gerrard, Paul Scholes. These guys...
Got Rio to save them,
these though. Guys, right?
I don't think they're bland.
I think they are vanilla to say... Like, Owen Hargreaves, I can't believe is still working in media.
I disagree.
The thing that irks me, and I've said it on a pod before about Owen Hargreaves, especially when he covers Manchester United. He talks about when I was at United. You were on the treatment table. You were on the treatment table, and you never lived up to it. So... Same with Michael Owen. You guys you were swan song players, like coming towards the end of your career, either via injury or just age.
So basically, when the strap comes up and then the Aston comes up, Owen Hargreaves, former United, by me, that burns you. That burns you.
You but, liked him at the time, though.
I liked him at Bayern. I liked him at Bayern. What I'll say to this is, I think that the panelists that BT Sport have are way below the quality of Sky. And I do not think Sky are good, right?
The bottom line with a pundit, summarise or anything, tell me something I do not know. Do BT's pundits tell you something that you don't know, that didn't realise? That's the bottom line, regardless of how they come across.
So, but do you think they do that?
I don't watch enough of them, to be perfectly honest.
The best thing is to like Gary, because everybody's found Gary really refreshing.
Gary and dare I say it, Jamie. Mm.
Everyone's found them getting underneath like the real skin of football, and I think that's what BT's reaction was. They're not going to get the next Gary. Anyone that is top, Sky going to get. They needed to get Troedini. Troedini to talk Raw, and they're my future employers.
Arsenal should take a look at themselves, though. Arsenal should take a look at themselves, because I wonder what Mertesacker's thinking sitting at home.
Well, he was asked before the Everton game. There was an interview I saw where he was asked the question, you know, will you be reacting to what Deeney said last week? And he said, we don't listen to other players' interviews. We don't listen to what other people say. We just talk to each other. We focus on what we're doing and blah, blah, blah. They obviously did hear about it.
No woman, no cry before games. Like, he's not going to react to anything.
And what you've just said about Mertesacker, that's another bland answer from a footballer.
It is. What you want him to really say is...
What you wanted was a John Terry-esque response to what Robbie Savage did.
Absolute psychopath.
Yeah. Remind me. I remember it, but I don't remember it.
I can't remember what Savage said, but I think Terry went down the medals? Line of like a player that's won
Terry,
nothing in
Terry
the game.
Terry had a stinker the last two or three games. He had a press conference at Champions League game, and one of the journalists asked him, does it annoy you, like, you're being criticised, you've had a great career, you're under pressure right now, Chelsea are bombing, does it affect you, does it really pee you off? And then he said, of course it affects me, it's not nice, blah blah blah, I can take it from certain people, your Rios, your Scott, they did say Scholes, your Rios, your Nevilles, your Carragers, I can take it. But then when people that haven't had a career like Robbie Savage, and then
loved it,
come on, he won the Worthington Cup at Leicester.
Final question I'll give to you. Is there a bit of hypocrisy from the media and maybe football fans here, in that we say on the one hand we want that kind of thuggish element of the game out and them days are over and it's about playing good football now, but then we kind of laud when a player basically admits that I'm a thug and that's what my game's about, and we kind of praise him for it?
Well, I think the first question is, do you like the thuggery?
I like obviously good football, but I like 100% committed players. It doesn't necessarily
be honest. When you say committed, what do you mean? Do you mean leave a mark on them?
Shinji Okazaki's committed, and N'Golo Kanté was committed, and they're good footballers as well. That's the sort of player I do like.
Good answer.
I used to watch the likes of Matt Elliott and Jerry Taggart beat the shit out of players, and they were good players as well, but not as good as these other ones.
I'm not sure Taggart was a good player.
I've got to say, I've seen one of the good
basis. But do you see a slight hypocrisy there? We kind of celebrate what Deeney said, but on the other hand, we're like, that element of the game's got to go or has gone.
I don't think it is hypocritical. No.
What if Deeney, I've got another question. Like, what if Deeney, right?
Tonight, you've got plenty of questions tonight, you.
Sorry, mate. What if Deeney plays another game against a John Stones, right? And he goes up and he breaks John Stones' leg, right? Let's just say that happens, right? We'll talk about that interview that he gave, right? Mm. About Mertesacker. And I think that's the hypocrisy. Because if he does do something like that, the same media that lauded him will be the first to say, we know what sort of player he is. Yeah. He said it before. And there should be a lengthier ban. But in essence, he said, I'm going to try and hurt someone and see how they react. And
what
for me,
what
that's,
does he mean by hurt?
Well, leave a mark. You don't leave a mark.
He said leave a mark.
Yeah, but I think we can read between the lines here. Surely can't.
Yeah, he's not writing on a Sharpie on their back, is he? Do you know what I mean? It's not. And I'm not a fan.
Listen, before we wrap up the pod, just a couple of final notifications I want to give to our listeners. Catch my other show, radio show on Pyro Radio, Beats and Balls, every other Tuesday, 7 till 9. And also, I wasn't going to announce my... What are you smiling for?
I'm just listening to the plugs.
Okay.
This is where you basically pretend that you're like really successful.
Well, I wasn't... And I wasn't going to announce it as well, but I've been nominated for an award. And if you want to go to my
page... on your WhatsApp.
Okay. Just if you want to go and check it out. I wasn't
going to
mention
it. Don't say if you want to go check it out. Tell him you want him to vote for you.
Okay, go and vote for me.
Yeah, just be honest with it. Like, this is your platform. You milk it.
What award is it?
It's an award by the Black British Entertainment. They're a new kind of collective.
For the record, Jordan is black, if you're a listener.
is that really good sports guy on BBC? Has he been nominated?
By the way, really good is implying that you are not really good.
I know, but I'm just.
Well, just tell to the panelists the nominees. So who are you up against?
So the main two are Melvin, the guy from Kiss FM.
Love it.
Yeah, brilliant.
And the other one is. Little prick. And the other one is Gamal, who presents Sky News as well.
So I need the votes.
Anyway, that wraps the pod. Thank you very much, Jason, coming on the podcast.
No worries.
Really appreciate it. We'd love to get you back on once we know A, who your manager is, and B, if you're going down in 3-4 months' time. We'll get you back on the pod.
I'll be back whenever then. Who tries
to respond nice.
I'm ringing the phones, is ringing out. Marvin and T, sterling job. Thank you very much for coming on the pod once again. You can subscribe via the iTunes Football Fans Podcast. We're on Spotify as well. Twitter FFP_11. Thank you to Joe, first appearance on the pod. Big up. Until next week, peace.